is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
Let's get started, y'all. Just one quick announcement. On Wednesday, we're not going to have a normal youth group because we're doing the break the fast dinner. So if you come at 6 o'clock, there'll be dinner, and we're just going to hang out afterwards. Does that sound good? Not enough time to do a lesson. We can do catchphrase.
Did you find it?
No, but I will. Jack and I are really good at catchphrases.
We can't lose.
Keep track. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about insecurity. Okay. But before we do that, I'd like to ask Dan to go ahead and open us in prayer.
All right. Lord, thank you so much for giving this opportunity to study your word and to just grow as a community. Lord, I'm so thankful that this many young adults are willing to follow in your footsteps and to really just embrace you. May they be the light for others, and not only in their school, but also in their community, to show the power that you have. Lord, I ask that you look over the people who are affected by the storm. There's a lot of people out there that need your help right now, and I answer their prayers and give them the much needed help they need. In your name we pray.
I want you to imagine moving to a new city. Okay, you're moving to a new area, you don't know anybody, and you're starting school, and you walk in, and you go into the hallway, and you just have this feeling, of just absolute terror, because you're wondering what people think about you. Nobody here knows you, but you feel like, and you fear, that they know everything about you. You have this insecurity, why is everybody staring at me? Okay, did I brush my hair? Is there something on my face? Oh my goodness, are they laughing at my face? Yeah. All these questions, do they think I'm ugly? Do they think I'm fat? Do they think I'm cool? Do they like me? That's insecurity. It's a fear of what other people think. So what is insecurity? We're going to get into that tonight. But we are going to do our group thing. But let me start by promoting a little book for y'all. If y'all were at either the RYMs, y'all probably met a guy named John Parrott.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote a book called Insecure, and quite a bit of my study on this topic has come from this book. It's very cheap. Pick it up on Amazon. He's also one of my really good friends. So let's plug in his book. But anyway, so let's break into our groups, and here's what I want to do tonight, okay? Group one is going to look at just general insecurity. Group two is going to look at an example of insecurity in the Bible. And then group three is going to answer, how do we handle our insecurity from a biblical perspective? On each of y'all's papers, you're going to see John 4, 3 through 26 listed. Make sure you read that as a group, because that's what we're going to end on. Okay, so make sure you do read that, because that's going to be our big conclusion. So let's start right here. Number 1 to 3, go around the room. Let's bring it in here, y'all. All right, so let's start with just looking at the word insecurity. Okay, so group 1. Here's my group 1. Group 1. So why don't we start with this question. How would you define insecurity? This emotion, this feeling of fear and insecurity. How would you define it?
As being not confident within oneself.
Okay, not confident in oneself. What else? Anybody else can jump in? Okay, being afraid of what other people think. Gideon?
Not having confidence.
Okay, yeah. All right. Anybody want to add to that? I've got a couple different definitions. On DesiringGod.com, a guy named John Bloom defines insecurity as a feeling of a significant lack of self-confidence or a powerful fear of others' disapproval, rejection, or chronic sense of inferiority. Our buddy John Parrott says that insecurity is a feeling that is self-focused, sinful, anxiety-driven, and suffering upon yourself. So let's work through each of those. How is insecurity self-focused? Specifically group one, but anybody can jump in and answer this. So when you're feeling insecure, how is that very self-focused?
Well, it shows that we feel that we're not good enough for something, and that it really can't be focused on other people, mm-hmm. because insecurity doesn't involve what can involve other people, but it's centered within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're focusing on being perfect and mm-hmm. looking at ourselves and like, oh, what other people think of me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's this constant feeling of everybody's looking at me, and you just have this feeling of, like, I can't live up to what I want them to think about me. It's just a feeling of just blah, okay? You don't even know how to describe it. You just hate the way that people look at you. You hate the way that you feel about yourself because people are looking at you. So it's always focused on ourselves. There's often some critique or something about ourselves that we're afraid of people knowing, and if they know that, then it would just devastate us. So it's very self-focused. So how is insecurity simple? Okay, great answer. Self-centered. Okay.
Well, God created us in His image.
Yeah.
So if we're insecure about ourselves, we're insecure about how He made us, which is sinful, like He's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a feeling that God made a mistake or something. Gideon?
It shows that we don't trust God.
Yeah, it shows a lack of trust. We are insecure because of our sin, and therefore our insecurity is sinful. Okay? Insecurity finds its roots in a hatred for something about ourselves. Okay? Who here has something about them that they don't like? We all, there's something about you, even as perfect as you may think you are, okay, there's something about you that is just not up to snuff in your opinion. Okay, for me, it's my eyes. Y'all may not know this, but I have abysmal eyesight. Okay, sometimes when I'm looking at you, this eye will actually look this way.
That's cool.
And it drives me nuts, and it makes me very self-conscious, because I don't know if I'm looking at Peter, if my right eye is actually looking at Peter. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And I'm very self-conscious about that. Okay? So that's something about me that I don't like. I can't blame God for that. I can't, you know, say, God, why would you make me this way? I have to trust that the Lord has a plan for everything that he has made me to be. So our insecurity is sinful because it's blame-shifting, it's defensive, it's just not very kind to ourselves or to those around us. So how does our insecurity drive us towards anxiety? Because our insecurity will always make us anxious about something. How does it drive us there?
I think a build-up within ourselves of fear can just lead us towards being anxious about what other people think. If we become so insecure that our only thoughts are, do I look okay, or am I doing this right, then we'll be constantly anxious of what's going on. Am I impressing this person?
Yeah.
Am I good enough for this?
Yeah. So our insecurity is time-consuming, right? It's something that you're always thinking about. Like, if it looks, you're always worried about how you look because you want other people to think you look good. So we spend all this time trying to take care of that insecurity, and it's exhausting, and it drives us to stress out because we're never going to look perfect. There's always going to be somebody else in class that looks better than we do, or, you know, can bench press more than we can, or whatever your insecurity is. There's always somebody else that can do better, right? So how does that make us suffer? Because it does bring suffering, because our anxiety will lead us to not feel good about ourselves. Yeah.
It destroys relationships.
Yeah, it can definitely destroy relationships.
Because you end up taking out insecurity on people you're close to, and at some point, that becomes very unhealthy, and it ruins relationships.
Yeah.
If you're overthinking something, it can lead you to anxiety, which can lead to depression, and depression just tears you up from the inside, and you separate yourself from people, and it just hurts you and your relationships with their people, like Hannah said.
Yeah. Yeah, so specifically, when it comes to the suffering that we feel from our insecurities, there's two types. One is an external. Someone says you're ugly or you're fat. Okay, that hurts, right? Nobody likes to be told those things. Okay? Somebody could say something and it brings you suffering because you don't like that. Okay? You don't like people saying that about you. And then comes the internal suffering, right? Because it doesn't just end there. That old saying of, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, words may never hurt me. That's a lie. Okay? Words are hurtful. Now, the application of that little phrase means we should not let people's words hurt us, but words do hurt us. So when people say stuff, not only does it go to our brains, but it also goes down to our hearts and our souls, and we feel ashamed and we feel ugly and hurt. So there's an internal suffering that happens as well, because you start to believe those things that people say about you. And you start to think, well, maybe I am ugly, or maybe I am fat, or maybe I am stupid, or maybe I'm just not good enough. And that's just going to begin this cycle of just suffering over and over. Okay? Let's move on to a very specific instance of insecurity. And it's actually one of the passages that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights for the past couple weeks. So let's talk about Genesis 3, 6 to 13. Somebody in group 2, would you like to read that for us? Is this group 2?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody read that for us.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and to you. The eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman from whom you gave to me, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave the fruit of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Okay. In this passage, and Pastor Wade definitely touched on this morning, I'm sure Pastor Ben did the same tonight. How does insecurity control Adam and Eve here in this instance? There's numerous ways, but what are some ways? Hannah? Yeah, so it's a distancing in the relationship. Pastor Wade this morning talked about how shame always puts distance between you and somebody. And you do that purposely because you don't want people to see you. Okay? So there's a shame aspect. What else? What do they do?
They hide.
They hide. Okay, yeah, they feel shameful, so they hide. They try to pull away from God. Now, inwardly they feel a great level of insecurity, but externally, what do they do to even further that insecurity? What are some actions and some words that they sow fig leaves together to create a covering. Okay, so that's a physical shame that they feel, but what else?
They blame others.
Yeah, there's this huge blame game going on. Okay, Adam's blaming Eve, Eve's blaming the serpent, and nobody's owning up to the sin. There's this outward insecurity that comes out through the way that they act by making fig leaves to cover themselves, but also even the way that they speak to God. They're saying that the woman that you gave me, okay, or the serpent deceived me, okay, the serpent lied to me. There's never this, yes, I'm weak and I messed up, okay? There's no repentance there, okay? But again, God is working in them. He's trying to draw them closer to himself. He doesn't just chastise them right there. He's trying to enter into this with them. But what are some examples of us doing this today? What are some ways that we can display the same type of insecurity that Adam and Eve display here in this passage? Yeah.
We hide behind things like our achievements, mm-hmm, or our status, mm-hmm, socially, or relationally, we hide behind people, mm-hmm, like, hey, I'm friends with this person, so like now I'm cool and I'm hiding, mm-hmm, behind this person. We hide behind money, we hide behind parents, we just hide behind things.
Yeah.
We figure out what works. Mm-hmm. Works.
What do you think we're trying to achieve? We're trying to hide behind certain things.
To
not be critiqued. Okay. To not feel like you're a loser. So that's actually a really good answer. Nobody likes to be a loser. I heard something else right here.
To appear the way we want others.
Yeah. To appear the way that we want others to think that we look like or act like or sound like. Okay. So there's lots of ways that insecurity works in us. Let's turn our attention to that. Group three. What does our insecurity teach us? What does it try to teach you? Group three. Yeah, exactly. Hit it right on the head. It begs the question, are you good enough? Okay. And it hammers you over the head over and over and asks you that question. And it always makes you feel like what? That you're not, right? The answer to that in our own eyes is always going to be no, I'm never good enough because I never feel like I'm good enough. We're usually really, really quick to critique others, but I think internally we're very, very quick to critique ourselves. At least I am. I know I am. So like every time I do something stupid, which is often because I get thrown under the bus all the time.
Hey, bro.
I know I can draw you the bottom of the bus. I've been there so many times. I just lost my train of thought. I'm very quick to critique myself, and I'm not very fair with myself. I'm actually usually a little bit more fair with others than I am myself because I'm such a big self-critic. And it's because of my insecurities. It forces me to do that. It causes me to do that. So the question, are you good enough, it teaches us to fear. It teaches us to fear others. It teaches us to fear what other people say, what other people think, what other people do. We fear what they may say about us or write about us. Okay? It's this constant thing that we're always worried about. What do people think of me? Am I good enough? Fear tells us there's something about you that's under a threat and you need to do everything you can to protect it. You need to go into full lockdown mode to hide, to lash out at somebody, to cover up your own insecurities. Okay, so what inside of us is threatened at that point when you're feeling insecure? Let's start with group three, then we'll get to you, Gideon. Okay, ourselves, yes. A what?
Confidence.
Confidence.
Our feelings.
Feelings?
Our emotions.
Emotions. Gideon, you were going to say something?
I was going to say control.
What do you mean by that, Gideon?
I'm not exactly sure because I don't know what I meant.
Okay. Well, that's a really good example. That's a really good example because we tend to like to control things. But when other people are talking about us, we can't control them, right? Okay, so what is truly under threat when you feel insecure about something is this. Is you have this innate desire, this innate, as a human being, to be loved and to be liked, and to be cared for, okay? I don't think there's anybody in this room that says, you know what? I just don't want to talk to anybody for the rest of my life. I just want to be alone by myself all the time. Sometimes we need that, right? But I don't think anybody in this room would say, I don't want to have relationships with anybody ever again. Okay? We all have this desire to be in relationship with others. We all have this desire to be liked and to be loved. And when you feel insecure, that is what is at the core being attacked. Okay? So what are ways that insecurity shows itself in your life?
Depression.
Yeah, start with group three and we'll work our way around.
Depression.
Okay? It can result in depression. What else?
Anger.
Yeah.
Criticism.
Okay. Criticism. What do you mean by that?
You can criticize yourself.
Okay. We can also criticize others because we would rather focus on that than on what's going on. Okay. So yes.
You doubt yourself.
Okay. Doubt. Okay. Anybody else?
Put shame on yourself.
Get in.
Isolationism.
Isolation.
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Yeah. Okay. So it can show itself in how we try to put the best version of ourselves forward all the time, which is an exhausting thing. It shows itself by making us hyper-defensive. Is anybody here defensive? Yeah. Okay. Let's look at how Jesus enters into our insecurity. And this is how I want to end tonight, because this is a beautiful picture of how Jesus enters into somebody's life and shows them that their insecurities don't matter, and that that person is beautiful in his eyes. So I had y'all read John 4, 3 through 26. We're not going to reread it. But this passage is about Jesus doing ministry far away, and he's returning back home, and he has to pass through this place called Samaria. Okay, and y'all know anything about the relationship between Jews and Samaritans?
Not good.
Enemies. Okay, they did not like each other. In fact, Jews thought that Samaritans were low-class half-breeds, essentially. Like, they weren't even worth being called people. Okay, they were just these people that, but they don't even deserve us having a relationship with them. So Jesus is passing through an area where Jews wouldn't even stop to talk to Samaritans. Okay, and Jewish men especially would never talk to a Samaritan woman. Okay, so there's something huge going on here. This is unprecedented. Okay, so he's heading back, and this woman is coming to draw water. And I hope you noticed when she did that. When did she do it? At the midday, at the sixth hour. Okay, and why do you think that's important?
Nobody draws water then?
Yeah, nobody goes out at noon to draw water because it's incredibly hot. So why do you think she's going at the midday? Okay, so she's going because she doesn't want to be around anybody. Okay, she's going because she's worried about what the other women who'd go and draw water might say or think about her. See, she has this great insecurity. Okay? We learn this by the way that Jesus interacts with her. Okay, so again, she goes to the well to draw water at a time where she knows nobody else will be there. And who shows up? Jesus does. Okay, and what does he ask her? He asks her for a drink. So again, no good Jewish man would ever stop and talk to this woman. Here Jesus is stepping in to have a relationship with her, to build a conversation with her, to teach her something. He doesn't go after her like really harshly. He goes after her really gently, and I hope you guys can see that. Her insecurity left her with this unmet desire of feeling loved. And how do we see that? Yeah, so five husbands, right? She's been looking for this satisfaction that would come through relationship, through feeling loved, but it's gone unmet over and over and over and over, right? And it causes her to keep going back to that one thing because she wants it so bad. And that's what our insecurity does to us, right? That's what it does. And notice what Jesus says. He says the man you live with is not what? Not your husband. What do you think he's saying there? He's saying you're even willing to go to the extent of adultery to feed your insecurity. Okay, that's how desperate this woman is. That's how desperate her insecurity is. Our insecurities always cause a sense of desperation in us. We'll do just about anything to make sure that people don't see the true us, right? And that's what this woman's doing. Jesus tries to teach her what? He says, your worth is not something that you should look for in other people's eyes. It's where? It's in me. It's in how I see you. You're my child. I love you. And I don't care what these people think. I don't care what these other women think. Your value is not found in their eyes, but it's found in mine. When we spend hour after hour trying to be the biggest and baddest on the field, or trying to impress people with our knowledge, or when we spend fleeting moment after fleeting moment trying to make sure, and we take picture after picture trying to make sure we get the perfect picture to put on Instagram, right? How many hours people spend doing that? But what Jesus is saying here is, okay, if you find your worth in those places, there's always going to be somebody who's bigger and badder than you on the football field, or on the soccer field, or at the mathletics competition, okay? There's always going to be somebody whose picture on Instagram is always going to be better than yours, no matter what.
Okay?
There's always going to be somebody that you're going to gossip about, talk about behind their back, and they're already talking about you behind your back, and you'll never even know it, okay? There's always going to be something that you feel insecure about, and you're always going to look for the cure for that in the wrong places. But what Jesus wants you to see is that the problem with finding our security in those places are, it will never be enough for you. It's going to be like a drug. You're going to keep feeding it and keep feeding it and keep feeding it. And you're never going to be satisfied. It's like drinking salt water. When you're thirsty, drinking salt water is going to do what?
Dehydrate.
It's going to dehydrate you. And that's what feeding our insecurities is like. When we have Jesus, I tell you guys this all the time, but it's true in just about everything. Having Jesus in our life doesn't make those things just disappear and everything's great, right? That's not the case. Unfortunately, we live in a sinful world. We're always going to have insecurities. But what does Jesus want us to do with those insecurities? He wants us to take those to him. And he wants you, as an individual, with whatever you struggle with, whether it's feeling pretty, whether it's feeling, you know, skinny, whether it's feeling like you're athletic enough or smart enough, whatever it is, he wants you to view those things in light of the gifts that he's given you. If you feel like you're never good looking enough, Jesus thinks you're beautiful. Jesus thinks you're handsome. Jesus thinks you're awesome. Okay? If you feel like you can just never be good enough at sports, Jesus doesn't care whether or not you score a touchdown or make a tackle or make a good serve in volleyball, whatever it is. Jesus doesn't care about those things. He loves you, and he loves you for who you are. So do you feel the weight of your own weaknesses and failures? Do you? Christ will make you more secure than you'll ever imagine. And that's what he's trying to teach us through this interaction with this woman. Who has the power to tell you who you are and what you're worth? That power comes from God. Okay? It doesn't come from what other people think. It doesn't come from other people's opinions. Do other people's opinions matter? Sometimes. But they're not the thing that define us, right? What does? Our relationship with Christ. So if you have, not if, you do have insecurities. Okay? I know some of your insecurities. And now y'all know some of mine because I told you about them. But take those to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I really struggle with the way that people think about me in this area. Will you please help me to live a life that doesn't focus so much on that, but rather on what you've done for me? Okay? You may feel like other people have power over you, but God is the one that truly has the power in your life. He has the power to change you. He has the power to heal the wounds that you may have because of your insecurities. Find your security in Him and take the things that you struggle with to Him. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I do pray for everyone in this room. I pray for all the things that we really struggle with, Lord. There are so many things that we just fear about what other people say and do, Lord, that it drives us to be people that we're not, Lord. So I do pray for each young man and woman in this room, Lord, that you would help them to live in light of who you've made them to be. You have made them in your image. Lord, whenever we struggle with our insecurities, we're saying that you've made a mistake and that the way you've made me is not good enough. And that's just not true, Lord. So we ask that you would help us to live in light of the truth that we are loved by you. I pray that for each person in this room. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.